Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet, presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. And tonight, we are talking Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. What's up, Corey?
Nothing much, Nick. It's been a great weekend of graduation. You know, I graduated. Your sister graduated. A couple of my friends graduated. And then we got to watch a couple of blowouts this weekend.
Congratulations to you, Corey, and to all the graduates this weekend. Obviously, a big accomplishment, like we mentioned on the previous show. But you mentioned it, you know, another blowout tonight in the Golden State responded to being blown after game two, 126-85. They lead the series 2-1 now. What were your thoughts on this one?
You know, in the first quarter, it was close. Neither team started off relatively hot. You know, Curry was missing shots. Klay was missing shots. Chris Paul was underwhelming. James Harden was okay, I think. Capella was really active early offensively. And then, you know, as the game developed, it just leaned more and more towards the home court team.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a great start for either team, but I felt like from the get-go, you could feel Warriors are playing more of their style of basketball. Even though Curry and Klay weren't super hot and, you know, they weren't hitting a ton of shots, the pace was up, the ball movement was up, you know, there was less ISO, more activity on defense, more help defense. And on the Houston side, you know, they had an opportunity in the first half to kind of keep the game even a little bit tighter, maybe even possibly take a lead, but they missed probably at least 10 layups in that first half.
Yeah, I know a couple Rockets Twitter. They were all, you know, hooting and raving about how, you know, Chris Paul missed some easy ones, which, you know, very uncharacteristic. I think they missed like 24 points worth of layups in the first half.
It's incredible.
Yeah, they just were missing easy looks. And against a team like the Warriors, especially because I think they, in the first half, they had 13 or 14 turnovers. You can't be sloppy and miss easy baskets against the Warriors. It's only a matter of time until they make you pay. And, you know, like usual in that second half, that third quarter, the Warriors did what they normally do. They went on a huge run.
Yeah, and I think some of the missed layups wasn't just only Houston missing. I think the Warriors' defense was a little bit more felt this game. Even if they weren't blocking the shot, I felt like contested-wise and just being, you know, a step closer to them just made it a little bit harder. And defensively, the Rockets weren't the same team. You know, the engagement level wasn't as high. Even though we saw Steph and Klay miss shots in the first half, they were getting way too many open looks.
Yeah, I mean, Curry in particular – you know, I know I before the game I said that he was going to drop 30. He ended up dropping 35. But after his slow start, people were saying, you know, he's missing wide open shots, man. He's not dropping anything. And, you know, eventually, you know, those looks are going to fall. As somebody mentioned, you know, he's been obviously abused defensively in this series. Tonight, you know, Curry played really well on switches. He did, you know, he didn't do anything spectacular, but he really held his own in ISO situations.
Well, and one thing I felt like the Warriors defense did, and when the Rockets got a switch, it was later in the shot clock. So they didn't have the opportunity to really work them that long. And then Curry only had to really guard Harden and whoever, you know, for under 10 seconds. So it made it a lot easier. Do you think, you know, some of Curry having to play so much defense impacted him in this series?
I mean, you could definitely make an argument. Obviously, anytime you have to play a lot of time on both sides of the ball, it generally takes away some of your energy. And this series in particular, especially in games 1 and 2, we really saw the Rockets go after Curry. So, yeah, I'm going to say it plays a small factor. But still, you know, the first two games, Curry was missing shots that we didn't see him normally make. So I don't want to say he was that tired. At the end of the day, you know, he's a pro's pro and a shooter.
Yeah, and I think shooters just go into slumps. Obviously, some fatigue, obviously shooting a lot of jump shots. That's why I felt like it was so positive to start the third quarter for Steph to get some points in the paint, you know, attack the rim, you know, see the ball go through the hoop, and next thing you know, he hits a deep three and he catches fire. And, yeah, at one point, I think he outscored the Rockets team in the third quarter.
Yeah, he definitely did. I think certainly at one point. I know that he had 20 points in that third quarter, maybe if not more.
And the Rockets only had 24.
Yeah, he was lights out, man.
And it felt like one thing for that, it was weird in that quarter, is, you know, Houston came out really dry to start the third. Then the Warriors went on that run, had a 20-point lead. And then Houston responded, went on a little bit of run of themselves, got into a manageable, you know, deficit. Next thing you know, Golden State and Curry responded, and pretty much the game was over at that point. You know, pretty much mid-late third quarter, this one was pretty much a sealed deal.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Paul had 13 points. But, you know, he had two back-to-back threes late in the third quarter.
And garbage time.
You take away those 6 points, you know. He had a really, a disgusting game in general. You know, without those two threes, he was 0 for 6. You know, 5 for 16 on the game, shooting 31%, 13 points. Obviously, he had a double-digit rebound game, but only 4 assists. two blocks, one steal, minus 18. Chris Paul, you know, he really needs to show up. He needs to be better. They didn't go out to trade him and trade for him to be, you know, the third or fourth best player on this team. He's got to be the, you know, the Robin to James Harden.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a lot of the leader of this team. Obviously, Harden's taken some, you know, shots in the past for that, and that's why they have Chris Paul here. And I think he needs to set the tone early, especially with some of the guys that are struggling. And just a lot of the role players were all over the place. You know, P.J. Tucker didn't have anything close to the game he had in Game 2. Eric Gordon had some decent scoring moments, but he also took some bad shots and defensively got abused a couple times. He was negative 33, minus 33 for the game for Eric Gordon.
Sheesh. Yeah, you're not going to win basketball games when – somebody's that negative. And like we mentioned, after they won Game 2, you know, Eric Gordon, he was being so effective offensively, you know, and he was, and like you said, I believe you said it, he was just playing harder on defense. Not necessarily playing better defense, but playing harder. You definitely didn't see that kind of effort so far in Game 3, or, you know, in Game 3.
Yeah, I think that could be probably said for the whole entire Houston team, maybe except Clint Capella. You know, the defensive engagement toughness, it just wasn't there. I don't know what it was. Maybe they're like, we're going to lose Game 3. The Warriors are going to come out hot and smoke us. Maybe we'll get lucky, and they're just looking to Game 4. But it wasn't a great performance for them at all.
No, and Trevor Ariza, we mentioned this too. You know, how consistently can Trevor Ariza, P.J. Tucker, and Eric Gordon score like they did in Game 2? Well, one game later, you know, Trevor Ariza 6 points, P.J. Tucker 6 points, Eric Gordon 11 points. Trevor.
It's Ariza almost shot a third of their scoring of a game too.
Yeah, and Trevor Ariza, P.J. Tucker both shot, I believe, over 75%. Both those guys shot 40% or less. Eric Gordon shot 30%. It's all about effectiveness for the Rockets. Obviously, being efficient is key against the Warriors, and those three guys in particular—they're the make or break to me in this series for the Rockets. Kids being able to defeat the Warriors and not being able to defeat the Warriors. And those three guys can't be this lackluster.
Yeah, and on the Golden State side, it felt like Kevin Durant's ISOs were sprinkled in a lot better this game. You know, they weren't as much breaking up the offense. You know, he attacked quickly. Even though he shot 9-19, it felt like a more efficient game. And obviously getting Steph involved a lot more helped the team.
Yeah, and he also had a clean game. No turnovers from Kevin Durant.
Also, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. So he did step up in other areas. And that was something we were getting at in Game 1 and Game 2 doing these recaps. You know, he wasn't really contributing in other areas. This game, we saw him, even defensively, you saw him around the rim a lot more.
Well, see, it's funny because Curry has had, you know, I believe he had 8 assists in Game 1 and he had 7 assists in Game 2. He only had 1 assist in Game 3. So it was kind of like, you know, it's in the sense, kind of like Kevin Durant had his number called in Game 1 and Game 2. We saw very little assist. I believe he had 1 assist between those two games. Tonight, we saw Curry really be the vocal point of who they really and I think, to a degree, the Warriors wanted to get Curry involved. They wanted Curry to get hot, Curry to see some buckets fall. Obviously, we saw Curry be really inefficient and kind of just not disengaged, but just not effective offensively. I feel like Game 3 was all about getting Curry touches and getting Curry some kind of offensive rhythm, and I think that's exactly what they were able to do.
Yeah, and like I said before, I love the fact that he was kind of cold from three. I think he was like 1 of 7 at halftime. He responded in the third quarter, and he attacked the rim. And I think that's kind of an underrated factor of his game. You know, his ability to get in the paint, hit some of those teardrops, some of those layups, get some free throws. That's something that, you know, every great player needs to be able to do.
Yeah, and, you know, just another piggyback, Iggy was huge in that first half. I thought Iggy was really good at setting the tempo. That hand five lineup tonight, every single person in it was positive. Curry plus 24. Klay Thompson, who didn't even score well tonight, plus 21. Draymond plus 26. Durant plus 27. And Iggy with plus 26. All five of those, that Hampton five was really effective tonight. And Draymond was an absolute beast on the boards.
Yeah, constantly boxing out Capella and just having a lot of, you know, tip rebounds to his teammates, fighting for those loose balls. You mentioned Iguodala, and he's a guy I think that, you know, benefits the most from the pace being picked up. Getting some of those transition buckets really helps him in the whole entire Warriors team.
Really good at catching, and obviously we know Iggy's not the greatest three-point shooter, but there was a few times in that first half where he caught a ball on the three-point line where he was wide open and he could have taken a shot, but he was smart enough to put the ball down the floor and drive baseline. He had a couple nice dish outs and a couple nice lanes.
Yeah, not a bad game from Iguodala at all. Best Warrior tonight other than Steph?
I'm going to say Draymond. I think Draymond, especially because of Clint Capella's hot start, I think Draymond was really effective in shutting that down near the second half of the game. Capella, I think he had, six or eight points in the first quarter, only finished with 13. And like you mentioned, box out-wise, a huge 17 rebounds. The Warriors won the rebounding battle 49-41. And offensively, I think Draymond had, what, two offensive rebounds. The offensive rebounds were huge for the Warriors, too, you know, 11-10. But it felt like every time they got an offensive rebound, they were able to get points off those second chances.
And it was very deflating for the Rockets. You know, every time they got those offensive rebounds, it felt like the Rockets had played good defense and they just missed out of grabbing the board. And I feel like Draymond also set the tone defensively. You know, he got away with probably a couple fouls here and there, but just being so aggressive helped the Warriors.
Yeah, in that first half, there were I guess I might have been counting differently, but he could have at least had four fouls in that first half with the way he was playing. He had a one push off in particular where he was driving, he ended up getting Iggy to the line, but he full body shoved, I believe, James Harden, and there was no call.
And there's a couple, you know, I want to say there's probably like 5 to 6 50-50 plays, and they all kind of went in favor of Draymond. Obviously, some of that's going to be playing at home, but, and also, like we've talked about in the past, when you're aggressive defensively throughout the whole game, it's a lot harder to call you for fouls than if you do it once in a while.
Yeah. He definitely kept the same tempo of momentum or aggression full, you know, those 48 minutes, well, 35 that he played, or 37.
I'm going to go with KD, though, as the, you know, the best Warrior after Curry. He hit a lot of big buckets, you know, a lot of buckets that just deflated the Rockets because they were great defense, and he just knocked it in over that. And like we talked about, he stepped up in the areas we wanted him to step up, and that was rebounding, assist, and defense. So any Warriors need to step up for game four?
I'm definitely, like, looking for Draymond and Klay in particular, only because, you know, Klay, again, wasn't that assertive offensively. We know that he's not, you know, the ball has to come to him. He's the kind of guy offensively where the ball just has to kind of land in his hands for him to make a play. And Draymond, you know, again, only shot 33%. He hasn't been that effective scoring-wise. So, I mean, I just think, you know, if those guys start picking up their offensive numbers, and this is when this series could really become a quick one.
Yeah, and you think, obviously, with Steph heating up, that Klay's going to start to get more open looks, and it's going to be up
especially
to him.
Especially with Durant, like you mentioned, Durant has pretty much any shot that he takes, despite how hard it's been. They've been falling the entire series, even when they've lost this game two.
Yeah, so I'm looking at Klay to be a guy that probably gets hot in game four, possibly. And the Rockets have done a pretty good job of making him dribble. So I think it's up to Klay to kind of make a couple shots off the dribble, make them pay. Just relax, be patient, and overall, the Warriors are fine, though. You know, there wasn't anybody that was bad.
Yeah, and shout out to Sean Livingston.
I love Sean, like I always say.
They went on that 9-0 run to start the second quarter, and he was huge in that. I felt like that really changed the tempo and the momentum. Because obviously, the Warriors were kind of picking up pace near the end of that first quarter. And I think when that bench unit came in, especially to start that second quarter, Livingston in particular, he had some really nice buckets in the paint.
Yeah, there was one specific play in the second half where he just smoked James Harden. You know, I think he hit him with a behind-the-back pass, and a behind-the-back dribble, and then next thing you know, he was in the lane throwing down a dunk.
Yeah, he was huge.
Best Rocket tonight?
I mean, I'm going to say Clint Capella. I think James Harden was solid, but again, you know, I don't like how much he cried tonight. I know a few times driving to the hoop, there was arguably a foul call, but you know, sometimes you just got to let those go, get back on defense. I liked Capella aggressive early, but again, you know, Draymond did a good job kind of taking him out, and he only ended up playing 20 minutes in this game.
Yeah, I like Capella in the first quarter, like you've hinted at before, but the rest of the game not really felt. James Harden had some good moments, but he was dribbling a lot, not passing the ball. And then when he did get the switches, it was so late that he couldn't really do anything. He also missed a couple layups himself. I really don't have a Rockets player that stuck out to me and had a positive game.
Yeah, it was a rough night across the board. And, you know, is this what we should expect, Nick? Is this what this series is going to be, a back and forth between which team is going to be hotter, or are we going to get some close games here?
I mean, I think for right now, especially earlier in the series, like the first four games, I wouldn't be surprised if we possibly saw another blowout. But I think when you get closer to a game six, a game seven, if we go that far, that, you know, you're going to see closer games. But I think in the early series, there's adjustments that both teams are making and, you know, the other team's not reacting. And a lot of it's just energy and effort, too, for these games. Like game two to game three, the Rockets look completely different. Same thing could be said about the Warriors. They're both kind of just, neither team has really matched the intensity of the other one. Maybe game one for about three quarters, but then the Warriors pulled away. So I think we're yet to see a game where both of these teams are kind of scorching.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people were harping on the Rockets for getting back to isolation basketball, which is, you know, this is what they play. You know, they even in game two, they still ran the same amount of isolations, but the difference is the ball moved around a little bit better and guys were hitting shots.
They ran faster in game two. Everything was faster. The energy, the pace was so much more. And by the time they got the ISO, they got the breakdown, they could make the second or third pass. Tonight, James Harden got the Steph Curry switch. He only had one option. It was either to throw the oop to Capella or try to make a contested layup. There just weren't many options because they worked the shot clock down so many times. And it's going to be really tough to score in a defense like the Warriors if you continue to do that.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, I think obviously the energy was a lot higher in game two and being home. But you know, when guys miss shots for the Rockets, I do feel to a degree that they definitely get more into isolation. You know, the ball doesn't move as well when they get off to slow starts. Whereas in game two, when they got off to a hot start, it felt like everyone was okay with moving the ball more, if that makes sense. I just feel like the confidence level completely changes depending on how the first quarter goes for the Rockets.
Yeah, their mental ability right now is in question, I would say. Because not only when the shots aren't falling, and I think it would be fair to say that maybe the Warriors got some favorable calls in the first half, and then the Rockets thought that they should have gotten some calls, and they didn't get them, and they weren't getting the same calls, and they allowed that to really frustrate them, and you could see it on their court play.
Yeah, you know, the refs play obviously some part in every game, and I agree, especially some of those like calls on Draymond in particular. And those are frustrating calls, especially when you know that would have gotten you an extra possession.
Yeah, and I think for the Rockets, I think there was one specific play where James Harden got called for a handsy foul, and if he reacted to the ref like, you know, they're touching me that same way on the other end of the court and you're not calling it. But like you said, every game is going to have some type of ref battle. I felt like in the third quarter, in the second half, it wasn't as much of a deal, and the Rockets really didn't bounce back from that. But worst Rocket tonight, who needs to really step up for game four? I think there's one guy that kind of sticks out here.
Yeah, I think we got to go with the guy who's supposed to be Robin, and that's Chris Paul. Like you mentioned, six of his points are pretty much in garbage time late in the third. You take away those 6 points, he has 7 points on the game. 5 of 16 shooting, you know, 2 of 8 from three, minus 18, 2 turnovers, 4 fouls. We really just haven't seen Chris Paul, the facilitator. He kind of looks out of sorts. Obviously, he runs that bench unit when James Harden goes to rest near the end of the first quarter. I just really haven't seen Chris Paul. You know, I want that Chris Paul that dropped 40 points against the Utah Jazz. I want that guy. I want the one who can take over a game because we know he has it in him. We've seen him play some great defense early on in this series. I just need to see it offensively. But for the Rockets to win this series, despite, you know, we mentioned they can't play isolation, guy like Trevor Ariza and PJ Tucker, and, you know, those guys all need to step up. But, you know, Chris Paul really needs to average pretty much 20-6 or 20-7 for this team to win. He can't be scoring less than 15.
Yeah, I would say 20-10 and, you know, 20-10. You know, I think that's a number that they would need him to have to win the series. And I think some of Chris Paul's play depends on the other role players. You know, like you said, being a facilitator is his best skill. So when he has to score a lot and get in those ISO situations, and some, you know, some of the Warriors defenders are very good. And it's not like Chris Paul's in the prime of his career right now. So I could see that having an impact on him as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Chris Paul is another guy where, you know, I don't want to discredit him, but when his shot's not falling and he's not getting foul calls, he definitely lets his emotions get the best of him far too often.
Yeah, for sure. You can see it out there. Adjustment-wise, though, what do you want to see from Houston in game four?
I just want to see energy, man. The energy you mentioned about game two, the way they came out, they had an extra step. Every single person had an extra step. They were hungrier. This looked like a team that just wasn't as hungry. They didn't want this game enough. I just want to see them. I want to see them hungrier. I want to see the ball moving, flying. And yeah, I get it. Some shots aren't going to fall, but you know, don't get heavy on an isolation. And if you do get an isolation, like you mentioned, a few times when they got into isolation sets, it was so late in the shot clock that James Harden can't make a play or Chris Paul can't make a play. You know, you guys got to run a more efficient offense. They kind of played on their heels all game.
Yeah, it wasn't a great performance. Just they just weren't all there. It felt like, you know, mentally, engagement wise, and energy level. Yeah, but pretty similar stuff for me. Get the pace up, get the ball moving up, you know, start making shots, especially your layups. That offense needs to move at a faster pace regardless, and defensively just play smarter. You know, I just don't feel like they played fully engaged, and they just made a couple mistakes that really came back to bite them.
I agree. I mean, obviously, Durant's going to hit tough shots, and Curry hit a lot of tough shots in that third quarter. But, you know, those shots can kind of get neglected if you're making those layups in the first half.
And if you don't let Curry get going, you know, getting some of the easy layups in the beginning of the third quarter, you know, letting him get in the paint, get some makeable shots, you know, maybe he doesn't get on one of these stretches. Now you have to worry about Curry keeping this and carrying over this hot streak into game four, which means you'd really be in trouble.
Especially with those Oracle fans. I mean, they were loud tonight.
Yeah, I mean, then one of the best arenas in all of basketball, probably all of sports. But on the Warriors side, what adjustments do you want to see, if any?
I mean, honestly, I think you keep doing what you're doing defensively. I think they've done a nice job of giving – I mean, they've made Chris Paul's life slightly hard. I mean, I don't want to say he's just missing shots. They have really gone under Chris Paul's skin. They've been, I think, a little bit more physical than he's used to at times. And then offensively, just keep having the ball move. Don't let – obviously, the isolation is a part of everyone's game. You know, when Durant's moving the ball, though, he has, you know, six assists. That's scary because anyone on this Warriors team can pop off like we saw tonight, for example, for 30-plus. And tonight was Curry's night. They picked straws. It was Durant the first two nights. It was Curry tonight. It may be Klay next night. Just keep moving the ball. And I think for the Warriors, the biggest thing for me going into game four is the bench. Continue being effective. You know, Nick Young, you know, he still had in the limited minutes, he's had a pretty productive series in my eyes. Sean Livingston tonight was big. And Iggy's still, to me, a role player, but he was really effective. That's the X factor. If those guys are playing effective, efficient minutes, then that's exactly what the Warriors need, because any given night, one of those stars is going to go off.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just keeping Curry active, you know, making sure he's involved a lot. And like you talked about earlier, you know, they made sure from the get-go that he was getting his touches and shots, even though he wasn't hitting. And I think that's very important, because it's been said a million times, you know, the Warriors are great when Kevin Durant scores, but when Curry's scoring, he's that leading guy, they're at a different level. And I also think they took a lot of bad shots in the first half. They missed a lot of them. They made the Rockets, you know, it allowed the Rockets to kind of stay in the game. And I think if they clean up some of these bad shots, it could have been the game over a lot sooner than the third quarter.
I mean, yeah, Klay in particular, I think, took a couple of bad shots. And obviously, some of those three Steph took, even though a couple of them were wide open, some of them were kind of those, you know, forced shots.
And then I'll attack James Harden. They, you know, kind of do what, you know, they're doing to Steph, you know, attack James Harden on the defensive side of the ball and just make him work. And if he already has done a lot offensively, especially if they're ISOing a ton, he doesn't have the energy to play both ends of the floor against a team like the Warriors for 48 minutes.
Yeah. And continue offensively to pull Clint Capella away from the basket. You know, he, like, you know, 21 minutes. The only reason he played 21 minutes is because the Warriors, they've been very good. From this year to last year and years past, they really do a good job taking Capella out of the game.
Yeah, it'll be up to Capella to make his impact on the floor. And I think some of it was probably, garbage time and them needing threes. He didn't play as much, but his impact wasn't felt as much as the first quarter. But predictions for game four?
I'm going with the Warriors. I think this was a momentum game for them. It scares me that Curry was, like we mentioned, that third quarter was vintage. Actually, I shouldn't say benches. He's still in the prime of his career, but it was normal. That's what we expect from the Warriors. A big third quarter run led by Stephen Curry. Durant was still there. And I think in game four, we may see a little bit more of Klay.
Yeah, this is a really tough one. You know, I want to pick the Rockets to win, but it just feels like Golden State's going to pull it away. The momentum of this, you know, this game and Curry getting hot and Klay yet to have a really big game in the series, I think I might have to pick Golden State. As much as I want to pick Houston, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Houston pulls it away, but I think this might be a closer game. I don't think either team's going to really blow out here, because I think Houston knows this is kind of do or die.
Yeah, I feel like game four will be determined by less than 10. I just think at the end it will be the Warriors will have, you know, one or two possessions that really just stand out.
I may change my pick by the time game four starts, but we'll see. But that wraps
it. Yeah, the comments are post-game, right?
Yeah, maybe see the comments, just the overall vibe, and, you know, maybe I'll just get a sign. that wraps it up. As always, you can listen to all of our conference finals recaps, all of the podcasts on the OTG Podcast Network on Blog Talk Radio. You know, check us out on iTunes, Google Play, OTGBasketball.com, and follow us on Twitter at OTG Basketball. But as always, Corey, thank you, and thank everybody for listening.
Of course. Peace.